This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. Jesus told us that we are to love one another. But was he speaking to the whole world or individual people? Please stay with us this day as we talk about the necessity of close friends in our lives.
We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today, I'd like to talk with you on the general theme, the necessity of friends. Who was Jesus talking to when he said, you are to love one another? The world, or individuals within the world? Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that you are that loving God. And so Jesus could say, I want you to love one another, even as I have loved you. Grant, O God, that that text may open up for us, and that we may understand that the friends we really need to love us are those with whom we are in Christ. For it is in your name that we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. Friends in Christ. The word love is used by Jesus in many different ways. That is, the groups that he is talking to may be different in one case than in another. When Jesus said to Nicodemus, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life," how was he using love there? It is my understanding that this was a love that flowed out to all people who had been created in the image of God. God loved them all. And the scriptures say he did not want one to fall. But we know that that oneness in Christ Jesus comes only for those who find themselves calling him their Savior and Lord and trusting him. To whom then is Jesus talking when he says you are to love one another, that is found in our text today? And I would like to ask you to turn in your Bibles, if you have them, to the 15th chapter of the Gospel of St. John and begin with the 9th verse. Now listen, and contrast this with John 3:16, not the quality of love, but to whom is it being addressed? "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remember, remain in my love. If you obey my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command," notice, command, "my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lays down his life for his friends." Jesus laid down his life at the cross of Calvary for his friends. For the world, in fact, but meaningful to those who were in him. "You are my friends." That's a special group. "You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I have chosen you. And I have appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This, again, is my command. Love one another." Was it the same way that he was using the word in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world"? Or was this love that he's talking about in our text today something a little bit closer? Not the quality of the love, but to those who are being addressed by the Savior. He also says to us here, "Remain in my love." That means that it would be possible for us to fall out of love. We find that to be true in earthly situations. The people that we loved, are we were teenagers or in high school, whatever it might be. And now we come back for a 50th reunion. Those who are still living and who were able to get there, there's a real strong feeling, but it isn't quite the intimate relationship that there was on your graduation day. Jesus says, "You have a very special place in my life. I give myself for you." It was no small price that Jesus Christ paid that we could be called the sons of God. "Greater love has no man than this, that he will lay down his life for the sheep." The relationship with Jesus Christ is more than a servant, he said, Because the servant does not know the master's business, I no longer call you servants, because the servant does not know the master's business, but I have told you everything the Father has told me. I pass it on to you. You are my friends. You need me, and you need your Christian friends. Stand together. Love one another. Going into this world today is a challenge. I believe it has always been a challenge. I don't know how much more of a challenge it is today than 50 years ago. But let's say that it was a challenge just to live in this world. We live in a world that is indifferent and sometimes hostile to the Christian faith. It is at this time when we feel that hostility that we need our brothers and sisters to give us encouragement. So now let's really take a practical experience here and see where we stand. Let's say that it's Sunday morning, and I can't wait to get to church. We're going to sing some of those great old hymns. The church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, her Lord. We're going to sing, yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin. We're going to cry out to God in prayer, my God, how wonderful thou art. There is a worship service. The pastor has spent a lot of time during the week preparing his sermon. And he has a point that he really wants to make, and he makes it dramatically. He may not be a great orator, but he really has a message that warms your heart. What is that? It is that we are in the midst of a group of people who are our brothers and sisters in Christ. That is a oneness that is different than in the world. It is Christ who has bound us together. And I need to come there, and I need to see the people who are there worshiping with one another. And to know that these are people who believe that Jesus Christ has died for their sins, that they are sinners, that they need him. They might have come from a day where it was very disappointing in their life. They've lost a loved one. They have a son or a daughter who have gone astray. There is a business that has collapsed. There is some very, very trying circumstances that surround them. To whom can they go and talk about these things? Not always out in the world, but they need to come to those who are disciples. Disciples with them. And there you pick out a close friend and you sit and say, I need to talk with you. And so you discuss what's gone on. You share the experiences of one another. You realize and you're reminded again that Jesus has said, you cast all of your cares on me. I really care for you. I need to be reminded of that. I need to be reminded that these days here on this earth are limited, but there is an eternity that is before us. And regardless of what some of the leading news magazines have said, let's take another look, a fresh look at heaven, we just laugh. Laugh at that. There is no fresh look at heaven beyond what we have learned. It's always fresh. That when my last breath is made, then I see Jesus face to face. But until that time, it can be extremely difficult. Think of the apostles, what they went through, how difficult it must have been for Paul to sit in a dungeon. but to know that his friends have come there to be with him. But more than that, he had a Lord who was standing there with him. So it's good for us to have these friends, friends in Jesus Christ. And the church worship service is more than just listening to the sermon. That sermon is extremely important. I believe it with all my heart. I have dedicated my life to it. But it is also that oneness that we have in Jesus Christ. The radio is a wonderful thing. And we at Christian Crusaders are so grateful to God that we can proclaim this gospel to those who sit in their cars or lie in hospital beds or at home and for one reason or other are not going to church today. That we can bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to you and you can sense the oneness. And if you're not a believer, that you realize that you can have that oneness. If you really want to cross the line and say, "Come, Lord Jesus, come into my life." We have, for example, the sharing at particular time of all kinds of people. I'd like to build on one today. I think it's perhaps not too many students listen to Crusaders. I hope you do. But I understand that this is aimed more at middle-aged people. But let's say you have sons or daughters, and the education that they need is to be found at a big university where if Jesus is not really combated in one way or another, if the environment is not hostile, it probably is very, very indifferent. I sat one day with my granddaughter, who is now graduating from a good-sized university. And I said to her, were there a lot of temptations? And she said, of course there were. In the classroom, yes, but outside of the classroom, too. You got the idea that they thought that you were somewhat different if you confessed Jesus Christ as Savior. The intimacy as far as the sexual relationship was concerned was tremendously different. How can I remain clean until my wedding night? How can I do it? This is what my granddaughter told me. You know, Grandpa, I have found that if I can gather a group of people around me, or that I can be in a part of a small group, both in high school and now at the university, I have people who share all things with me. We talk about Jesus Christ. We have our Bible studies. We pray together. But when there's something that's breaking your heart, and there are a lot of those sometimes in college and university settings, in the service, I would imagine it would be exactly the same thing. When I have that person to whom I can come, and know that we share all things together, how good it is. How good it really is. The small group that you meet regularly, knowing that the situation may be different from one week to the next, you can discuss with one another what that friendship really means. You see, Jesus had the small group. Only 12 disciples, they lost one, they gained one in his place. But you can be sure that Peter, who often was rather mouthy and an extrovert, could turn to Andrew. And he might have said something like this, "Andrew, you are a person of prayer. I am too. But I know while I have been out there proclaiming the word, sometimes you have been at home, praying for me. I tell you, I really need to talk with you. And can't you imagine what Thomas must have felt like when he admitted that unless he could put his fingers into those nail-pierced hands, he would not believe that Jesus had been raised. When he came to a person like Philip and said, Philip, you didn't have that experience. Your faith might have been stronger than mine. I fell. My heart is heavy. Can you help me, Philip? Can you help me? Here's another situation, people in the family. The son comes home, and he said, I have some bad news for you, but I want you to hear it from me. My wife and I are going to divorce. I know you love her, but there are things about this marriage that can't go on. I know that it is God's will that what he has joined together, no one should ever put asunder. But I'll have to blot that one out for a little while. I can't stand it anymore, nor can she. It is not one is guilty and the other one isn't guilty. There is no other person involved in this at all. We just don't get along with one another. And you begin to unfold the scriptures to him. And you bring her into it. But there is no success. And then you think, what can I do? And you turn to your friend Mary and say, can you and your husband come over tonight? We'd like to feed you, but more than that, we'd like to talk with you. How did you handle it when your daughter and her ex-husband were divorced? What did you do? Now, you may have closer friends than those you're talking to, closer in one sense of the word, that you spend more time with them. But none closer than this, because you and Mary have been in a small group. You have studied the scriptures. You know the Lord Jesus personally. You've prayed together. It's that friend that I need. And so you spend the evening. And you say, oh God, I just can't get along without these Christian friends. And how you long to reach out to them when they're far away. Even though the price of gasoline is costly. Another young lady friend of mine told me that she had had a delightful weekend. She had driven from Iowa to Indiana to see a friend who she thought so much of while they were on the same campus. The miles she went to be in her presence. You see, friend, that's what we need. We need a small group. We need a congregation. We need a church. I hear people say sometimes, well, I get more out of it if I stay at home. And I'm just reading my Bible and praying there. That is very, very important, I realize. But I also realize this, that you cannot get along, in spite of all of its frailties and the criticisms that you might have, you cannot get along in the Christian faith in a world that is like ours until you have these friends. And that's why Jesus Christ says to those of you who are friends, I command you that you love one another just as I have loved you. Think about it. He does love you in the small group sense of the word. Love one another. Amen. Lord Jesus, we return our thanks to you that even though we live in a hostile world and sometimes a hard world, and sometimes a world that is filled with all kinds of hatred, there is a love too. There is a love for one another because you have first loved us. So help us to kindle that love and to rejoice in it. Out of love, O God, we pray that we may reach out to this world today. Wherever these people are who need you in such a very, very definite way, in a hospital, in a jail, around where nobody has a word to speak to them of hope, God, grant that we may be a missionary church, as you have told us to be, and to go and share that gospel of love with all people. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to the Christian Crusaders radio and internet ministry. We pray today's gospel message has helped kindle in you a love for others out of the knowledge that Jesus Christ first loved us. As a nonprofit ministry, Christian Crusaders is dependent upon the free will gifts of our listening family. With your help, we can continue broadcasting the most important news in history, the gospel of Jesus Christ. A memorial gift can be a meaningful way to remember a loved one and help us spread this message at the same time. This gift may be of any amount and used to commemorate a birthday, anniversary, or any day in the life of someone special. Please direct your gifts to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. If you know someone who might enjoy Christian Crusaders each Sunday, please tell them about our program. Christian Crusaders is often particularly important to those who are ill and cannot worship in church. Sermons are available anytime from anywhere in the world on our website at christiancrusaders.org. If you would like a CD or printed copy of today's program, please call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. You may also direct your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Conducting today's service was the Reverend Homer Larson, speaker on Christian Crusaders since 1962. We are happy you chose to worship with us this day and pray you will join us again next week on this station. Christian Crusaders is now in its 76th year of continuous Sunday worship broadcasting.